Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
We got a lot of action going on here.
We do. Things are really actually starting to heat up. We are less than 2 weeks to the officially opening day. We are less than, 5 days to the unofficial opening day. Baseball is upon us. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment.
Yeah, you can also comment, bother us, check us out at Facebook, West Coast Bias Baseball.
Let us know what's going on. Help me help you, okay? Give us some pointers. Give us some insight. Give us your likes, your gripes, your fruit stripe gum. I don't know. Give us something, okay? Wow, there's a lot's been going on here. Okay, Harper got hit in the leg. Okay, yeah. He's fine.
X-rays are negative. Just a bruise. He'll be okay.
That's fine. Moving on, though. What is going on with all of these rule changes, man?
The rule changes. Some of them are, well, okay. The rest of them are, what the hell are you doing, baseball?
What's going on? Why?
I don't know. Are they trying to dumb down the sport? They're trying to take down take out the strategy.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Take out the drama, the intrigue, the guessing, the fuel for the Monday morning quarterbacking.
Right.
Why did he leave him in there?
Why did he take him out?
Yeah. Why didn't he pinch hit in this situation? Those things, starting next year, are gone.
It's like they want to turn all of baseball into the American League, and by that I mean no strategy, essentially. You don't even need a manager in the American League. There's no double switches. There's no, I got to worry about the pitcher coming up next in the lineup. Hopefully I can get one more out of this guy. No, that's all gone. Your pitcher's sitting comfortably on the bench. He doesn't even have to worry. He doesn't have to hit.
All he has to do is throw strikes.
That's it. That's all he's got to do, and just rest his pretty little head in the dugout. No. That's what's happening here. I mean, of course, they're talking about the DH, the universal DH by 2021. But we have effective changes this year, 2019, the year of our Lord. Inning breaks. Okay, that's a good one. Great. Like, let's get inning breaks will be reduced from 2 minutes and 5 seconds to 2 minutes. Okay, I mean, do they even really need it? I mean, 5 seconds, you know? And is this even going to actually affected, or are we now going to have those little commercials during the game that pop up? You know, those little picture-in-picture Subway commercials or T-Mobile, whatever the hell.
I know. There's part of me that is okay with that, because there is, if you're watching a game on TV, I'd much rather see a little ad pop up in between pitches than waiting, you know, full 2 minutes in between.
Well, it's going to be 2 minutes anyway. It's 2 minutes no matter what. I mean, that's standard commercial breaks for any kind of television. You know, it's usually 2 minutes, right? Chuck Woolery, 2 and 2, right? That's normal. We're never going to get rid of that unless all of baseball is gone the way of, like, boxing now or UFC, which is all just you pay for a platform and you never watch commercials, which would be fine, but that's never going to happen in baseball because it's a giant sport and there's a lot of money to be made, obviously, with the advertisements. That's how they make a lot of their money. Okay,
true.
Fine,
but
I don't want to see them in the middle of the damn game, especially in between pitches. Maybe in between batters.
You're already kind of looking at them anyway.
That's true.
Mostly any shot in the outfield with now all of the major league fences adorned with advertisements,
well,
like
they
in
always
a minor
have
league part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always have been.
Well, you look back at old Ebbets Field, or you look at like the Giants Field in New York, you know, Ballantine's beer. I mean, there were always...
Some, but not on the fences themselves. I remember going to Candlestick, and the walls were... The outfield wall was clear of advertising.
Well, that's true. I mean, Dodger Stadium has an... It still is ad-free.
We know we're... I guess we know we're truly in trouble with the advertisement in the stadium when Wrigley Field takes down the ivory and paints the bricks.
The ivy or ivory?
Ivy.
Okay. So to say, I didn't... Something happened that I didn't see. I thought elephant tusks were illegal.
Heard the herd of elephants that are going to be stationed in Wrigleyville.
Well, the goat has turned into a baby elephant. Okay. Well, the trade deadline, though, this is the biggest one. I mean, because this is taking effect this year, and they sort of just steamroll that right through. Again, I'm sure there must be a lot of details, a lot of talks back and forth between the MLBPA and the commissioner's office. I don't know, but that's a done deal. The waiver trade period will be eliminated. The July 31st trade deadline will be the only deadline. Players may still be placed and claimed on outright waivers after July 31st, but trades will no longer be permitted after that date. Hmm. So gone are the 0 hour Justin Verlander trade to the Astros or.
That was at the July 31st deadline, wasn't it? Because how did is if you have to clear waivers before you can actually be traded? How did Verlander actually clear that?
Wasn't that August?
I don't remember the actual date that he was traded.
Anyway, I mean, look, they're trying to make it so that teams have to plan ahead. They're trying to make it so that guys don't get screwed, I guess. Halfway through, or teams can't just throw off all their guys. I mean, that's still July 31st is still pretty deep into the season. I don't know. I guess that's I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Maybe it'll just be more like classic baseball. I don't know. The All-Star game, though, that's going to be changing as well this year in terms of voting, which would be, I don't know. Maybe that's fine. I don't really have an opinion on this at all. But did you see anything about this with like the primary round? Which is basically like how it used to be, where,
a fan vote.
People vote. Yeah, exactly. Until there's like a top three vote getters in each position. And then there's like a one day election day where you then vote for guys based on that, which is, I guess we'll give guys with not a lot of chance or guys with a smaller media market to maybe
make a case.
Yeah. And get on social media more. I don't know.
I don't know. That I necessarily like the idea of players campaigning for their All-Star spot.
Why not?
It's
a popularity contest.
It is a popularity contest, and a lot of times. But if you're voting, if you are a fan who isn't just blindly voting for the players on your team that you root for, I am legitimately voting for the best or your favorite players in each position, I think that the numbers in the first half should speak for themselves. That if you do well enough to get noticed outside your market.
So you think there shouldn't even be voting? It should just be the guys with the best numbers?
Well, I think, no, I like the fans being able to vote for who they want to see in the baseball game. I don't necessarily like all this campaigning. Hey, vote for me, look at me.
Well, but that's the whole point, though, right?
I don't know if it is the whole point.
Especially nowadays with social media.
What is the whole point? What is the whole point?
A demonstration of the best players currently in the game. Okay. I guess that's the point, right?
So then
take off fan voting completely. Just make it a merit-based thing,
The best players from each team.
Yeah.
From each league.
Yeah.
Well, but from each team on each league, isn't there some sort of... edict that was several years old now, there's no minimum. That each team must be represented by at least one player?
No, definitely not. That's not a rule. No, I'm pretty sure that's not a rule.
I thought that it was.
I'm sure most years there's multiple teams without any representation. I mean, what Oriole was there? Oh, I guess it was Manny Machado last year, but he was almost not an Oriole, right?
Right.
What Royal was an All-Star last year? I don't know.
I have to look up the rosters.
Yeah,
I'm assuming none.
Maybe like on reserves or backups, but I don't know. I don't think it's a rule because there wouldn't be enough spots, right? Especially when you have guys or teams like the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Yankees that have multiple All-Stars, three, four, five guys.
But why do these teams have so many All-Stars? It's because they have more fans that are voting for them. So more of their stars, more of their better players get more votes.
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't see what the problem is, though. That's literally the entire thing with voting, right? Voting is all popular. It's all a popularity contest. Donald Trump was more popular than Hillary Clinton. He won.
Well, not according to the popular vote.
He would win
vote.
Today. If it was a vote today again, he would still win because he's still more popular than Hillary. Anyway, it's like running for school president or whatever. It's nothing to do with being qualified, right? Although for this, at least,
I think school president is much more a valid comparison to the All Star game.
Classroom, no zero period.
Then the presidential election for the United States, but it's a little bit more. There's no electoral college in baseball.
Well, we're gonna get the next best thing, I guess. We're gonna get an actual election day. So.
Well, it'll be interesting. Be cool. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, so
I mean,
I don't know if that's going to get rid of the whole voting 25 times or whatever. Like, I think it would be kind of nice to just vote once. That's it. You get one vote.
One fan,
yeah,
one vote.
Get it done. You know, figure it out. Yeah, get it done in one. Because now it's just whoever's the most tenacious, whoever is the most active voting 25 times. I think I've done it maybe 5 or 6 times. I'm sitting down, nothing to do, and I'll keep it.
Back before the social media and this whole internet thing. I remember sitting in the stands at Candlestick with a thick stack of those paper ballots and a pencil.
Yeah,
like punching out the little
hanging chad.
Yeah,
I loved it.
That's
it was great.
And it didn't matter. You'd vote as many times. Just punch them out.
I went to a game in June this last year, and I couldn't find any paper ballots. It was depressing.
They didn't exist.
I don't think they make them anymore.
It didn't exist. Trying to save a tree, something?
I don't know. Go online. Not pay somebody to count all those. I think that's what they're trying to save money in that regard.
Don't they have just a machine to send them in and it just...
Again, hanging chads, year 2000. This is getting very presidentially political, this episode.
I know. This is turning into a political fiesta. Right.
Just a bit outside.
But it's true. So I guess that's not going to happen anymore. I guess it hasn't happened in a while. The last time I did a paper ballot was at the Oakland Coliseum, but that was probably like 2015 or something.
It's been two or three years.
Spent a lot of time sitting there poking some holes. Anyway, now in the All-Star game, any extra inning games are going to start with a man on second base. So 10th
right,
inning
this
on.
Is the international rules almost.
Is that
international
tournament play?
International play, once you get to, I believe it's the 11th inning, starts with a man on first and second.
Real? First and second?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's actually good. That makes more sense, I think, because then at least you still have a double play in order, but you have a guy in scoring position also.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. But here, it's not first and second. It's just a runner on second base, 10th inning on, so any extra innings. They're going to have, I mean, that's fine. It's the All-Star game. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter.
It's an exhibition.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah, we don't need
fun,
guys getting their arms
display
blown
the skills. It's fine.
That's true. And then Home Run Derby, though. This is kind of cool because, you know, the attention for the Home Run Derby, it's kind of like the dunk contest. Well, it's a lot better than the dunk contest. Let's be honest. It's actually entertaining to watch each year because you get to see a lot of these young guys come. I'm more traditional. I just want to see you get 10 outs, the best guys get it. And I want to see guys come back to retain their title, you know, which you don't really see much anymore. But now there's going to be a little bit more of incentive. So
right.
We might see like a
the
Mike
prize
Trout.
Money.
Yeah, we might see a stand back, you know. Wow. $1 million to the winner.
$1 million.
A cool mill.
Yeah, but.
It's pretty nice.
As for last year's winner, I think $1 million is, you know, maybe $329 million short of what he's looking for.
Who won it? Judge? Who won it last
year? I thought it was Harper that won it last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But so a guy like Judge, who won it the year before in 2017,
and Judge
he wasn't even getting paid $1 million that whole season. So that's a huge, I mean, it's nice, you know, especially for guys that don't have these giant contracts or guys that are young and haven't, you know,
for
gone
sure.
past arbitration or anything yet. They might not even be making a mill.
So the financial incentive is great. However,
it's a lot of money.
You know, a judge is already on record saying that he still wouldn't want to, even with the $1 million prize, he still wouldn't want to risk getting hurt again.
Really? Did he get hurt? Is that the excuse he's making, that he got hurt?
That
or threw off his timing?
Well, something happened. In the second half, he did have a month after the All-Star break that he wasn't hitting them as frequently as he had been.
No, but I mean, again, but he was a young player. Is that just not natural regression? I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. It was always Barry Bonds' excuse for not entering the home run hitting contest. Didn't
I mean, it makes
throw
sense.
Off his swing.
It makes sense because you're getting like a 60 mile an hour pitch.
What
instead
I
of an
what I really don't get about it though is basically batting practice. So why wouldn't you just do your natural batting practice?
That's true.
If you're truly a home run hitter, you're going to be crushing the ball in batting practice. That's all this is. Just take BP,
right.
Knock those balls out of the park with your normal swing.
That's true. Except for now, it's a time thing. So they can get more than 10 outs. I think do it old school. 10 outs to anything other than a home run is an out. You get 10 of them.
Yeah.
You have 3 rounds. Next. You know, that way you're really only getting maybe 50, 60 swings. I don't know.
And it goes a little bit faster. You don't have, you know, 3 hours of kind of entertaining or thing. Or Chris Berman, back. Ah!
There's going to be an extra million and a half also to anybody else who's participating, which is kind of cool. And then the other big change this year, which isn't that big, but it is going to into effect this year, will be the mound visits, and they will now be reduced to 5 from 6. Which, you know,
Are they trying to eliminate them? Is the ultimate goal to eliminate mound visits altogether?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, I remember the restriction, you know, and it didn't seem like it was an issue when they had 7. They reduced it to 6. And it didn't seem like an issue, so now it's 5.
Right.
At a certain point, you need a chance to go and discuss, you know, where everyone should be. Remind everyone what the play should be in this particular situation. This is a critical point in the game. We have 2 runners on, 1 out. You know, where's the play going to be in this situation? You know,
I guess that's what they want. They want you to wait until the very end, I guess. They don't want you to be doing mound visits in the third inning. But, yeah, sometimes it's a tie game, 4-4, and, yeah, there's a defensive shift, especially nowadays with all the shifts. Okay, if the ball goes to my left, you're covering second. I'm going to go throw it to home. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on, yeah, like you're saying. So they need to be able to talk. I don't know. Do you think this is going to be an issue this year?
Ultimately, no. But I think that, you know, much less than 5 visits, that's one every other inning. The mound visits do not count for pitching changes. Is that correct?
Right.
So as long as these are non-pitching change
correct.
Mound visits that they're counted. I you know, it's one every other inning. I don't think it'll be a problem, but much less than that, I think you could start seeing an issue with it.
Most teams don't even ever max out their 6.
No.
You know?
I mean, and that was the point. I think that's why they're trying to, you know, might be just trying to eliminate them altogether, which makes absolutely no sense. I think the manager should be able to come out and talk to his players on the field for 30 seconds to a minute, not have to make any changes, just to say, hey, guys, be careful here. Be a coach.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe find the managers if they don't do like a brisk jog. You know, give me a little trot. You know, if maybe if they're just walking slowly, that's gonna eliminate all the old guys out there. But
do you want to make the managers hustle like their players aren't?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. make them trot. Call it the manager trot. Every time you don't trot, you get fined 5 G's or something. I don't know. No, that's too much. Anyway, all right, and then 2020, that's coming up next year. There's a lot of changes coming up next year, and it's terrifying.
It is.
Personally, I don't really know what to think. Now, this might be sensationalism. Maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion, but, you know, for me, I fear change. So,
cantankerous old man.
I was trying to find that audio clip of Garth from We Fear Change, you know? Because that's what I'm always thinking. I'm always thinking that. So the active roster provisions, effective next year, the roster size from opening day through the end of August will increase from 25 to 26. Okay, that's kind of cool.
I think that is a necessary change. You could even go to 27, 28.
Well, 27 for doubleheaders. Yeah, they're going to allow 27 for doubleheaders.
Doubleheaders?
Right.
You mean unscheduled doubleheaders? Because there's no doubleheaders.
Well,
unless,
yeah,
there's, I mean, unless the, because of all the weather delays last
year. No, a lot of times there are scheduled doubleheaders, but yeah, because of weather delays.
Not like there used to be.
Well, no, not like it used to be.
There's no more
schedule. But because of all the weather delays, like last year, there were so many, there were 40 delayed games last year before May. And so then in July and August, they had scheduled doubleheaders, yeah, to make up for it.
I think that Ernie Banks had it right.
Let's play two.
It's a great day to play two. Absolutely.
The 40-man active roster for September will be eliminated. That's right.
That makes...
no more 40-man roster.
That makes no sense at all.
From September 1st through the end of the regular season, clubs will carry 28. So that'll be the max.
So you can only bring up three, you know, young people to see what they can do.
Yeah.
Even if you're in last place and you want to see what you got for the next for the next year.
That's like one of the joys of being a fan of a shitty club is that you get to see next year's potential talent at the end of the year.
Right.
You get to see Ichiro throw an entire inning, right? You get to see, that leads me to another rule, which I'll get to in a second, but you know, you get to see cool things that you wouldn't ordinarily see, or a guy like Matt Davidson playing every position, right, on the diamond. You're not going to see that anymore. Because they're not really going to be allowed to. They're not going to have any guys like that. Anyway, the number of pitchers a club can carry on the active roster will be capped as well. Now, they haven't decided the exact number, but it's looking like it's probably going to be 13. I wouldn't doubt it.
Lucky number 13.
Yeah. So clubs have to designate each of their players as either a pitcher or a position player prior to each player's first day on the active roster for the entire season. So they can't change it.
So what they're saying now is that a pitcher is not a position.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. They're giving it like this its own status, which is insane because they're on the field. It's a position. It's dumb. I don't know. And then that leads to the whole dual two-way players, essentially, and the role changes. Or the rule changes for the role of a two-way player in 2020, it's going to go into effect next season, which is basically the rule is every player on a team's active roster will have to be designated as a pitcher or a position player before their very first game. And it has to stay that way for the entire season. Only players designated as pitchers will be allowed to pitch in a game, including the postseason, with three exceptions. One, the game is in extra innings. Two, team is winning or losing by 6 runs or more. Three, the player has already earned the quote-unquote two-way designation.
And how do you earn a two-way designation?
You have to throw at least 20 major league innings and play at least 20 major league games as a position player or a DH with at least 3 plate appearances in each game in either the current or previous MLB season. So, but how do you do that if you... So, like Ohtani would be eligible this year, but he's not going to pitch this year. So, next year, he's not going to be eligible. It's crazy. It's insane. So, I guess what they could do is just designate him as a pitcher next year and then just allow him to hit, I guess, on certain days. But he can never be a DH, at least designated DH first. They're going to have to designate him as a pitcher first. It's really weird. But once he earns two-way player designation, he maintains that status for the rest of that season and the following season. And while he has the status, his team no longer has to use one of its pitchers or one of the pitching roster spots on him. So, it's just, why? You know, why?
It's like they're afraid of something.
Yeah. So
what it is, I don't know what that would be. having a two-way player, someone who could play multiple positions, including pitching, I think that's exciting for
should
be the
encouraging
game.
That. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I know we saw more position players pitch last year than ever before, and I guess maybe they want to get rid of that because it seems like teams aren't trying. But that's their prerogative. That's the manager's choice. You know, if you want to tell a manager how he has to manage a game, then why are we even playing? You know, why do we play the damn game?
Why do we have a manager?
Exactly. I mean, again, in the American League, I don't know why there's a manager, but at least in the National League, where they play by real rules. So it's weird, man, because a guy like Matt Davidson, who did throw, like 15, maybe, I don't think he threw 20 innings, but he threw a lot of innings last year, and they wanted to convert him as a dual player because he was throwing gas, and he has a nice, tight curveball, and he could play the field. I don't know. A guy like him, who knows? I don't think they're going to want to burn him and make him be a pitcher, but I don't know. It's just kind of a shame because we saw like a glimmer of hope, and again, like maybe it was kind of annoying sometimes last year when we saw some position players come out and pitch because they're just throwing up taters a lot of the times. But then also a guy like Sandoval, you know, it was kind of fun watching him, Pablo Sandoval.
And
he was throwing mid-80s, yeah.
And he's got a decent curveball.
He did pretty good. So, it's just strange, you know.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Well, not from Pablo Sandoval. Apparently not. And I don't know. It's weird, man. There's a lot of changes coming next year. But at least we don't have the DH on the horizon. At least, I mean, what's
well,
coming, but,
I think this might be a prelude to the universal DH.
That's true.
If they don't want hitters to pitch and pitchers to hit, then obviously there's going to be a DH throughout the league because now there's an extra roster spot, right? So
right now
the National League teams can bring in a guy just to be able to mash.
Is that what they're doing? Are they getting us ready for that? Yeah,
I have trouble seeing any other scenario at this point. We can wait and see in September how it all has played out. But yeah. I think it was one of the biggest things about the advantages/disadvantages that occur for both leagues during interleague play and the World Series. Now with that extra roster spot, that 26th man for the National League could mean that's the spot for our potential DH.
Right.
On those rare occasions that we need an extra hitter. Because our pitcher, who potentially can hit Madison Bumgarner, Zach Greinke, to a certain extent Crawford, there's, I mean, what else are you going to use that for? 25 men have been working fine.
Well, especially
if they
cap the pitchers at a certain amount.
I can only have 13 pitchers, but you're giving me an extra roster spot, and I can't have an extra arm to keep everyone fresh in the bullpen.
Yeah,
especially considering I imagine the next rule change that we're going to talk about, which is the one that makes the least sense to me.
Rule 5.1G.
That's the one.
The 3 batter minimum
for
pitchers.
Horrible.
Again, why?
The end of the era of the left-handed specialist.
Sure. Gone.
And ultimately, this will affect almost every team, but only really a handful, according to stat I found for pitchers who faced 2 or less batters last year. Top 5 clubs were...
probably the best clubs in the game, I'm assuming.
Well... mostly
strongest
clubs. Certainly, I mean, I don't know if you would necessarily count the Chicago White Sox as one of the
strongest clubs. In that same vein, that the bottom of that list is going to be some of the weakest clubs.
Yeah. So here's the list. The top 5 teams for pitcher appearances with 2 or fewer batters faced from Philadelphia. With 129, Cleveland, Arizona, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox. Chicago White Sox had 114. Closely behind Them were the Washington Nationals with 105 and the Los Angeles Dodgers at 99. So,
ooh, we didn't break 100 this year. Wow, I'm actually kind of surprised.
I am. Then the bottom five are the San Diego Padres, Miami Marlins,
yeah,
the Baltimore Orioles, yep, Pittsburgh Pirates, yep, and the New York Mets,
yeah,
bringing
sense
up the rear with
that sounds about
just,
right,
just
yeah,
37.
Right.
Because
they're not trying things. They're not desperate to really win every game matters, because when you're 18 games below 500, you're just like, all right, whatever, I'll just roll with this guy. It's not really going to be a big deal in our
right
season.
I mean, you're already behind. We leave this guy in for more than, you know, for 3-4 batters, and he gives up an extra 2-3 runs. We're still going to lose the game.
Yeah, we
it
lost
doesn't
anyway
matter by having,
yeah,
you only
the Orioles. It doesn't really matter.
You only truly lose by one run, but it's that cushion that really doesn't matter.
So, okay, so pitchers can face one batter if it's the end of a half inning or an injury. So what's going to stop managers from just pulling a guy because he stubbed his toe? Like, oh, he's hurt. His arm is sore. So, are they going to force them to go on the, not the DL anymore? That's another thing. The IL, which I don't know. Why is it called the injured term list now? I mean, come on. And if you're going to do that, make it like this giant, like, press conference. Like, hey, we're changing DL to IL. Like, this just sort of flew under the radar and they didn't tell anybody. Anyway. Are they going to make them put them on the DL if they bring him out after one batter? I mean, that's the only thing I could see. That's the only way they can mitigate that, I would imagine. Because if I was a manager, I'd go out there,
sure,
and be,
yeah,
like, "Oh yeah, no, he's hurt. Oh yeah,
so, you know,
I need to bring somebody else."
You go out, make your pitching change. You wait for the new pitcher to come in. You give him the ball. Say, "Hey, you're only facing this batter." So,
hop on one foot afterwards.
So when you come back to the lounge after he's out, after the bat is over, I kind of point to your toe, limp around a
right
little bit. I'll come out and get you.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're trying,
yeah,
to do here.
It's stupid.
And they're taking away a strategy that probably really helped the Giants win their three World Series at the beginning part of this decade.
Bruce Bochy
is a master at managing that bullpen, knowing when to take his pitchers out and leave them in and change them.
Right.
You're going to face this guy. You're going to face this guy. And
you heard it here first from the mouth of Mr. Samuel Paul. The Giants will never win another World Series.
Well, I didn't
right
say that.
Because this rule will be in effect next year. They're definitely
but
not going to win this year.
But
I agree with you 100%.
Bruce Bochy also won't be the manager after this year either. And it
That's
won't
true
necessarily affect him. And who's to say that new strategies won't come up?
Yeah,
but
the strategies of
lying and cheating and pretending.
Yeah.
If this rule was implemented 10 years ago, history could have been a lot different than the way that it stands right now.
The San Francisco Giants would have no World Series. Is that
well?
Can I infer that from what you're
it
saying?
It is entirely possible.
I know it's possible. It's crazy.
It's a change that happened naturally in this game that people started doing. I believe it was really Tony La Russa who really started this whole trend of micromanaging pitching matchups.
Yeah, and you were even talking about Felipe Alou doing that.
Alou had the quickest hook that I've
right
ever seen.
And that's way before StatCast. That's way before all these sabermetric.
This was
know
in the mid 2000s. He when he became manager of the Giants, I remember watching he would put in a pitcher to start an inning or not, and the pitcher walk the first batter, and he'd come right out, take the guy in. He said, I heard him say. I take him out because he walks the first batter. He's obviously not ready to pitch, so I'm going to put someone else in.
Right.
Who is?
Right. So now you got to pay for that. You got to pay for it's maybe it's a mistake, and now the guy is going to walk the bases loaded and then leave.
Right. And the next guy in gives up a home run,
grand
first
slam.
Pitch,
yeah.
And
now he's
got to
stay.
Now he's got to stay in and face another two batters before you can take him out.
Doing untold permanent damage to his psyche and his emotional state. Who knows the ramifications of
what's going to mention, happen. Not to mention his ERA for the season, possibly his career.
Right. So this says a minimum of three batters or to the end of a half inning, with exceptions for incapacitating injury or illness. That's extremely open-ended. It's like, oh, gee, I think I feel a slight itch in my throat.
I gave up that grand slam. I think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so if they just stick their
like
finger
everyone
their
else in the stands. Are you kidding me?
Blue, if I make myself vomit, can I bring in Tony Sangrani now? Like, am I free to go? Am I free to go? What do I got to do? I got to be bleeding from the eyes? Do I got to puke on your shoes? Come on.
I don't know.
Jesus.
You carry a packup of ketchup out there.
Yeah.
And give up that home run.
Sure.
And smear it on your face. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
just swallow some
out.
Smelling salts. That'll make you puke. Right there. Boom. Done. All right. Well, okay. Maybe you're right. This is going to make us. Maybe it'll make for more entertaining baseball. It's going to be very. I don't know. They're going to have all new tricks. New things that they're going to be implementing, because if I was a manager, you better believe I'm going to be spending the next 3 weeks before opening day, 2 weeks, trying to figure out how I could fake an illness, because just in case I need a one-headed or a one-batter specialist, you know? I mean, come on. Don't make us stoop down to this level. Anyway. On that note, the injured list, again, I'm going to call it DL, just like I'm going to call Oracle Park AT&T for... the next year or so. So just bear with us on this podcast as we are learning. I'm basically, I'm not a smart man. It takes me a while to learn these things. But the minimum time a player spends on the injured list will be increased back to 15 days from 10, where it's been for the last few years.
I didn't even realize that this was a thing. I just thought that the time spent on the DL was dictated by the nature of the energy. I had no idea that it was a minimum time. That they had switched, and also the 10-day DL I thought was associated with the concussion protocol.
No, it's just anytime it used to be 15. It used to be 15 for a long time, and then I think back in 2016 or 2017 they changed it to 10, which was great. So you know, if a guy is hurt but not like horribly hurt but needs a few days off, it'll clear up a spot on your roster. And so I guess that's the point, like. I guess they're saying that that they were pitchers, or I'm sorry, managers were abusing it. That, you know, their teams manipulated the rule change to rotate relievers on and off their active rosters, you know, thereby maintaining a full stash of healthy and rested arms, which results in more pitching changes. Well, yeah, you want your guys to be healthy. You want your guys to be rested. You know, I mean, that's part of the game. Anyway, this also the minimum assignment period. It also applies to players who were assigned to the minors or who were optioned to the minors. Now will be increased from 10 to 15 days. So those sort of...
Well, so there you go. The overuse of relievers having to face a minimum of 3 batters each when they come in, noting the exceptions, will now go on to the DL so they can get... or the IL to get some rest. They bring up another arm from the minors for that same exact period.
Well, they're trying to prevent that from happening because that's happening too much, I guess. And so we're going to have guys getting hurt more, essentially. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think that hurt more is in quotation marks, of course. this happens in the NBA a lot. No, they have most... I believe the NBA has a rule where 2 players on the active roster can be listed as unavailable for a current night, not because of a serious injury, but just because they need some rest.
Right.
And so they sit not suited up for games, but they sit on the bench with the rest of their teammates for the night, and they're fine. They come in the next game.
Yeah, you cannot do that in baseball. Definitely not. You got to either send him away for 2 weeks now, 2 weeks and a day, or you got to say he's hurt for 2 weeks and a day. Gone are the 10 days.
And you've got to still replace him.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know if that really makes a difference. It'll just be
There's going to be more pressure on guys to not be forthright with all their ailments.
Which means that more people get hurt
worse
in the long run, have shorter careers. In the long run,
one would imagine. Yeah, it's not crazy to think that.
Unintended consequences. I mean, this is a long season, 162 games plus spring training plus, not for everyone, postseason. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of time to be playing ultimately a very physical sport.
Very.
And
yeah.
That requires also quite a bit of mental concentration as well. Guys need rest.
Yeah.
And if there's not enough options to move players around to be able to rest them for an extended period, should they need it, and then that's just a detriment to the game and the players as a whole. I don't like,
right.
I don't like being forced to overuse players, especially pitchers, which always come at a premium. And I don't like the ability, you know, having to then rest them for too long and not have them available when I need him or when potentially he's ready. If he's ready to go after 10 days, why do I have to wait another 5?
Right. Because they're saying not having this extension results in more pitching changes. Well, I thought they were going to fix that with the whole 3-batter minimum. Like, why did they have to do both of these? Doesn't the 3-batter minimum fix that right off the bat? Like,
right.
Is this still an issue now? It seems like just have one or the other, you know? I mean, really. Anyway, all right, I'm a little bit of good news. Julio Urias keeps on cruising, man. He's looking good for the Dodgers, you know, now because with question marks for Walker Buehler starting the season and Clayton Kershaw probably not going to be the opening day pitcher. You know, there's not a lot of, well, there's no clear option. I mean, Rich Hill is great, but who knows? Maybe Urias gets the nod. He's allowed one run in 9 innings this spring. Saturday, he allowed one hit, struck out 3, walked out 1. He's looking good.
Yeah.
And now Tony Cingrani is actually hurt, so there's definitely going to be a spot for Urias. And, man, he's only 22. He's so young. But
yeah.
he's got some heat. He's got some stuff.
Well, I mean, it's good. Every team needs some young blood to come in, shake things up. When was the last time that Clayton Kershaw wasn't the opening day starter for the Dodgers?
His second season. I mean, it's been over 9 years, I believe. Like 9 years. Yeah. I know. It's the end of an era. It's pretty sad. But, you know, I was looking at not starting, but closers, because obviously the Giants have had closing woes for the last couple of years. Mm. But and since I have a avid Giants fan sitting before me, who will be the Giants closer this year? Because I see Will Smith, Tony Watson, Mark Melanson, Sam Dyson, Ray Black, Reyes Moronta, Nick Vincent, Steve Okert. I mean, they're all there. Chris Stratton, Tyler Beattie, Ty Block. I mean, who's it going to be?
Well,
this is also for the fantasy players out there listening. They want to know. Not that the Giants are going to have many opportunities for saves. But you know what I mean.
I do know what you need. Well, I admittedly have not had much of an opportunity to see much Giants baseball this spring. So my personal eye test, I have not.
But what's the rumor mill going on right now?
The rumor mill, I haven't really heard it too much. I know that the Dauber is way down on Mark Melanson. Still, he has not been performing this spring, despite reports early on that he was feeling normal, whatever that means. So I doubt it'll be Melanson. Based on last year, and watching the team, I think it'll either be Dyson or Smith. I think probably, at least for the beginning part of the season, it's going to be who's going to be able to get those outs.
I think
it'll be committee. The rumors really that I've been hearing is that the Giants potentially will have one of the better bullpens in the league. Which, you know, is
well, there's a lot of guys there,
I suppose.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent.
There is a lot of talent. I think if they do, it'll be an improvement over next year, over last year, when, you know, the bullpen really did give up a lot of runs and potentially quite a bit of wins. I mean,
a lot of blown saves.
So we talked about last year at a certain point, they had 25 blown saves,
right?
And that is
bring out the gimp,
yeah. Yeah.
That was far too many. They would have had a lot different season had they not blown half of those saves.
Sure.
And so it'll be interesting to see what is done, who emerges as the dominant reliever in the late innings.
My guess is going to be Will Smith for a while until he truly messes up.
He might start out in that role, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Getting jiggy with it up in SF. All right. Well, good luck with that. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
So we're looking as we approach the new season. It's always fun to look at potential career milestones coming up. Now, we saw a couple, we saw Adrian Beltre get 3,000 hits last year. There's some good things. Each year, there's always something, right? Like, somebody comes up and does something nice. So, this year, speaking of 3,000, CC Sabathia.
Sabathia
needs, he's on the cusp, obviously, of 3,000 strikeouts. Only 16 pitchers have notched 3,000 strikeouts. Fewer than the 3,000 hit club, fewer than the 500 homer club, and the 300 win club. So this is a very prestigious honor.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody like CeCe, who's obviously battled a lot, but has been consistently just a dominant pitcher. So he is 14 strikeouts away from joining that group. Yeah.
So yeah, he'll probably get it within April.
Now, he might not start the season. He's still recovering from, I think he had like angioplasty surgery. I mean, he cleared up some deal in his heart or something. But he definitely will be pitching this season. And it looks like he more than likely, unless something horrible, tragedy happens, will get that. So that's pretty cool, man. I mean, chances are. So last year, he did that within 5 starts. He had 14 strikeouts. Right. So yeah. So that means possibly by May, we'll see it. Now, Justin Verlander is kind of on this list. Right. Now, it's possible he does it this year.
That's a great year.
He needs 294 strikeouts to get 3,000. His career high is 290, which he got last year.
Right.
So it's not like it's not his high was 10 years ago.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Exactly. I mean, he'll definitely do it next year if he does, next season if he doesn't do it this season. But his previous strikeout total before 2018 was 269. So, hey, if Verlander gets 295 strikeouts, the Astros are going to be sitting pretty.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great year from their ace pitcher, and likely if pitcher gets, even approaches 300 strikeouts, it's likely that team is having a good year.
We also have Albert Pujols is going to be close to 2,000 RBIs, so he's probably can get it. He's got to have a lot of playing time. It's possible. I think he'll do it. He's just 18 shy, so I'm sure he'll hit the 2,000 mark by the All-Star break, especially since Otani probably won't be playing immediately as the DH.
Right.
He will pass Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Barry Bonds along the way sometime before June. So that is very elite air
It is very. Those are some big names in baseball for sure. So 3,000 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I found quite an interesting stat earlier. Yesterday I came upon this. Walter Johnson, previous strikeout record of 3,508, stood for 56 years.
Wait, what? 3,508?
Yeah. 3,508. Okay. Strikeouts career record stood for 56 years until Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton, and Gaylord Perry all surpassed him in the same season.
Wow.
So when records fall, they fall hard.
That's true.
That's
pretty good. That's crazy. Well, it's kind of like when Babe Ruth's record was up in the air. It was
right. It had only been
Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris were both going for it, and they were both
really close.
One of them was going to do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if Mantle had not been hindered by injuries, he might have done it as well. Yeah.
Right.
Or and, Sosa McGuire.
And yeah, it took another almost 40 years for it to really be challenged again.
Right. Yeah, and then Nolan Ryan has the record that nobody will ever even come close to, over 4,000. He's the only 4,000 K-Club
like
member.
It. I mean, you have to be dominant. I mean, you have to, 4,000 home runs, that's 20 years.
Strikeouts.
Strikeouts, 4,000 strikeouts, excuse me. It's average 200 strikeouts over a 20-year career.
Well, he also has the most walks as well. So, you know, strikeouts and walks, I guess, kind of go hand in hand. Miguel Cabrera could be a member of the 500 Homer Club. Now, it might not be that likely, although he's done it before. He needs 35 homers.
Well, within his capability, but...
Yeah, I mean, he hit 38 in 2016. That wasn't too long ago.
It wasn't. And he had a couple injuries in 17 and 18.
Right. And he had 44 dingers before. So he's... His second MVP season. Yeah, he's been hurt, but I mean, even last year before he got hurt, he was still batting .299.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, he's a great player. I mean, Triple Crown runner, the most recent. That's
if you don't count Clayton Kershaw, but you know,
right. Well, different Triple Crown.
Yeah, in his career .315 average would rank fourth among the 500 hitter club behind Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, and Jimmy Fox. So yeah. Again. It's guaranteed first-round Hall of Famer,
yeah.
I would assume. Clayton Kershaw also could pass Sandy Koufax, which is, you know, a very significant Dodger record because
right.
Kershaw is very often compared to Sandy Koufax, you know, the most dominant lefties. So he has he needs 121, which he's done every season. So I'm sure that he'll be able to do that, hopefully. I don't want to jinx anything here, but if he does, he'll be third on the Dodgers all-time list. So it's definitely possible. And if he really is vintage Kershaw, he could possibly pass Don Drysdale, who has 2,486.
Wow.
So Kershaw's sitting there with 2,275. You know, it's possible. if he gets up there like Verlander says, it hits 290 or so. But
stays healthy all year and is, like you said, dominant throughout the season. Vintage Kershaw.
Do you know who the Dodger strikeout leader is, though? So I said Koufax, Drysdale, and then number one has 2,696. So no 3,000 K club in the Dodgers franchise, but...
I know that the name is right there. I know the name is right there. I am.
This is Mr. Don Sutton.
Sutton, of course it is. Yeah,
dominant. I would love to see Kershaw pass that as well, and we'll see. Hopefully he can do it. A few more seasons.
A few more seasons.
200. Sure.
He can start to approach 3,000 himself.
And staying in the West, Bruce Bochy. Now we talked a little bit about this last week, but he could be. He can move into the top 10 on the all-time managerial wins list. Now, Ben, it's going to come down to the wire because he's 82 wins short behind fellow Giants skipper Leo Durocher for 10th. And the Giants are, you know, I don't know. Are they going to win 82 games this year?
Well, if they do, they'd be a 500 club.
Right.
Which will be... an improvement over last year.
Right, coming off two back-to-back sub-500s.
It would definitely put him firmly in 2,000 career win territory.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs both have the same projection for the San Francisco Giants, and that is 73 wins and a last place finish in the National League West.
Right. I have seen these projections. I don't totally disagree with them.
It's not unreasonable.
You know, he needs 74 for that magic 2000. So, you know,
right.
Guys got him in him to win one more for the Gipper.
Gipper's dead. Sorry.
Yes, but the expression lives on.
Sure. Just some quick injury notes. Severino, Yankees, not going to be starting. Let me try that again. Severino will not be the Yankees opening day starter. Now, I'm sure you all knew that. But he's still sidelined with that right rotator cuff. And I don't know, probably out until at least May. So that's kind of not so good news for the Yankees. Also, Aaron Hicks, the Yankees probably would have been their leadoff batter. He's going to be out now, too, until he's been out since March 1st. He hasn't even played in the game with back stiffness. And they just extended him, you know, and he was good. He's a solid guy. He's a switch hitter, I believe. He's a solid outfielder. So Yankees are starting a little bit low, but hey, it's the beginning of the season. And that brings us to the Ignoble Award of the Week.
All right. You have one for us today.
Well, and I kind of feel bad, but it's got to go to the entire Seattle Mariners Club.
The entire Seattle it Mariners has to. Club. How so? What do they do to earn this? They're going to Japan soon.
I know. And that's the only silver lining, I think, in their book. And then to have one of the greatest hitters of all time be reunited with this country, sure, that's great. And I don't want to take that away from them. And I like Seattle, but it's just sad, man. I mean, their 17-year absence from the playoffs is the longest active drought in North American professional sports.
In professional sports.
Professional sports. They are one of just two current MLB franchises never to reach the World Series, along with the Nationals or the Expos, however you want to look at it. They have made the playoffs just four times since 2001.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. The four times ever. The last was in 2001. I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have never won more than two games in the ALCS. Now, why am I bringing this up now? Because this offseason, they traded Robinson Cano, Mike Zunino, Gene Segura, James Paxton, Edwin Diaz, Alex Colome. Oh, yeah, and they let Nelson Cruz leave as a free agent. I mean, that's the entire team.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically the entire team.
They're going, they're trying to recreate themselves as the next Houston Astros.
Are they? I hope so. But for now, I mean, they're just, it's the woes for the fans of Seattle. It's you know, you don't want to see that when you're a fan. And it seems like they kind of get overlooked because the Marlins are just, their park is so atrocious and ugly, and Derek Jeter is attached to them, so they get a lot of press. But really, Seattle, man, it's what they did this offseason. I hope you're right. I hope they have big plans. But it's just kind of sad to see that. It's just kind of depressing, especially for the fan base. I mean, it's great news for the A's.
So you're telling me that the Cleveland Browns have made the playoffs since the Mariners were in, last in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Wow.
The last 17 years? Yeah. It's brutal.
That's tough. I'm sorry, Seattle.
I'm sorry, too. I know.
Well, sorry, not sorry.
Somebody had to get it. Somebody had to get it. That's okay.
Yeah.
That brings us to... Does that bring us to last week's trivia question? Or are we already there?
I think it may. Unless you have anything else. I mean, I have potentially here one more thing about the Mariners. The first Japanese-born player to make his major league debut in Japan is Yusei Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting note on this upcoming Japan series, but that's really, I don't have too many things other than saying that this is probably going to be a very long season for everyone's favorite umpire. Angel Hernandez.
Oh no, wait, what? Is this his final season?
But apparently there was a Grapefruit League game in Florida, of course. A game involving the Houston Astros. AJ Hinch got ejected.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something else.
No. Ejected by Angel Hernandez after arguing throwing one pitch in the game. Made a big stink out of it, I think.
He ejected him from a spring training game.
after one pitch, he was arguing.
Damn disgrace!
Arguing Jesus balls Christ. And strikes. It's.
Good Lord. Wow.
And that's I think that's all I got.
How do you sleep at night?
I get it. All right. Well, on that note, that brings us to last week's trivia question. What was last week's trivia question?
Last week's trivia question was a repeat.
Mm-hmm. It was a repeat? No.
It
How
was.
Dare you?
We
How
had,
dare you?
Last
week's trivia question. Who had 999 walks with 3 starts to go in his career? And somehow did not reach 1,000. Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a very good one. And I struggled mightily this one. And I was failed to find an answer. I don't know. Did any of our loyal listeners
we got,
come up with an answer?
Megan Green in Santa Maria says, I'm pretty sure it was Barry Zito. Ooh.
Barry Zito.
Now, let me pull up Zito's numbers here. Zito actually had 1,064 walks in his career. So just over 1,000. So incorrect, but close. That's not a bad guess. I wasn't even thinking that. That's pretty good. We also got Sal Q in Signal Hill says, Oral Hershiser. Ooh, that's a good one. Unfortunately, incorrect. Sorry, Sal. Hershiser had just 7 over 1,000. 1,007. So 8 fewer, and he would have been in that 999 club, but sadly, he did not do it. So who is it? Who do you think it is? I'm looking at you,
yes,
Samuel.
Yes, I see that you are looking at me. like I said, I was not able to have an answer. I couldn't think of anyone. No one, like, immediately came to mind. And
somebody that's probably had a long career, but also has had great command throughout their career.
Right. I mean, I know it's not, you know, anyone like Nolan Ryan.
Definitely not. We already covered that. He is well over on that list.
And
who had 999 walks, 3 starts to go, did not reach the 1,000? That would be your old enemy. Used to be in the West. Greg Maddux. Oh, yeah. Mr. 350. Yeah.
Wow.
Getting over 350 wins and fewer than 1,000 walks, pretty damn good.
Yeah, he did have amazing control.
That is some hard, hard feat to accomplish. So no winners.
No winners.
No chicken dinners, no free beer on this St. Patrick's Day weekend. Well, this week's trivia question, maybe we'll have a little bit better luck. Who was the last player to get 3,000 hits without ever winning a batting title?
Another great question.
Ooh,
3,000 hits without hitting. It seems like that is a difficult feat to accomplish.
Yes, this is not going to be a Barry Zito or some obscure guy. This is a guy everybody knows. Well, yeah. I mean, he has to. This is the 3,000 hit club
hits.
Is a very, yeah, it's not,
a,
it's not a big
club.
Yeah. Right. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave the answer on Facebook. Leave it on Podomatic. Leave it on the iTunes. Leave a comment. You know where to find us. Let me see what you got. All right. We're probably only going to maybe do able to do one more, two more episodes, maybe just one more episode before our brief hiatus.
Yeah, we'll be focusing a little bit more on fantasy next week, as most of us will be in the midst of their draft or preparing for their draft right before the season really gets going. And then as it works out, Adam and I will both be headed on vacation for a couple of weeks to start off the season, which in retrospect is a little bit of poor timing, but such is life.
Yeah,
and
but I'm gonna be watching some professional baseball. I don't know about you.
You are. No, I am not going any place that has any professional baseball.
You're going where they don't even know where what baseball is.
In some instances, yes. The Netherlands do have a team.
That's true. Curaçao is part of the Netherlands, right?
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Kimmy Jansen.
And Israel has a team as well.
All right, so go scout some new talent.
We'll see.
If I can, I will. Yeah, I will be in Japan for a few weeks in April. If you have any suggestions, tell me where to go. Tell me where not to go. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Similarly, if you are Dutch or Israeli, hit us up as well. Yeah. Maybe there's some hidden park somewhere, but it's going to be fun.
Maybe there is.
We will be back for at least one more episode before April, of course, because, well, yeah. Opening day is coming. So
opening day
on that
is
note,
coming.
I am Adam Nelson.
I'm Samuel Paul. Baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.